Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you. Glad that you're here. Good to see the church family. Good to have visitors. It's just great to be together. We're here because of our belief in Jesus, and there are some who are possibly searching for the answers of life and wondering about Jesus. So let's continue to grow our knowledge and understanding and continue to open the scriptures and grow in Jesus Christ. Yeah, we were a little bit surprised in a sense. We got the letter from the county and they said, "You're looking a little scrappy over there." So I know it wasn't on the calendar, but if you're in town, if you're available Saturday morning, Brother Ray's going to be out here at the crack of dawn while it's cool. And if you like to work in the cool, you're welcome to come out. 5:30, 6? What time did you say? Yeah. So that's if you are really an early bird and like to chirp with Brother Ray. This Saturday, if you're available. And we're just going to work on the weeds and try to get the place shaped up. We also have the playground. The playground's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and back behind the sheds and stuff. So there's plenty of weeds for plenty of people, and so we'll whittle away on them, okay? Okay, that's just extracurricular activities. We're here because of Jesus, right? So if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is where we're going to be looking, the first chapter. Many of you noticed and heard, Sally and I celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary this last Thursday. Wow! She has endured my bad jokes, my just a minute that will turn into an hour, and all those other bad traits that I have. She continues to cook for me and clean up my messes and helps me get on the straight and narrow so many times. Thank you, Sally. You know, a lot of people make those commitments. Marriage, that is a promise that people make between themselves. We sealed our commitment after dating for over a year, I guess it was. You know, I broke my first date with her. I had another major situation come up I had to deal with, and I had to break my first date, but she was kind enough to go out with me when I asked her the second time. And so we just kept on dating and continuing on, and sealed our marriage vows before God and our family and friends down in the southern part of the state. One of the earliest things I learned is growing up with brothers and sister and friends is how to make a promise and keep the promise. I saw some of my friends do the pinky promise. Did any of you ever do the pinky promise? I didn't really get that one. You had to touch the other person. And anyway, but I saw it done by some of my friends. And of course, if you were really serious about your promise, do you remember this one? "Cross my heart, hope to die, stick 1,000 needles in my eye." Ouch! You know, you're promising that if I break this, you can torture me. I don't think we really understood that as kids. Growing up in school, we learned to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America. If you were raised here in the U.S., promising to stand with your country, with your fellow citizens. And we learned about patriotism and how important it is to support the people around you. A fundamental guiding principle of American culture and life has been the concept that people need to keep their commitments, that we need to keep our promises. This standard comes from the Bible. the influence of the scriptures on American life. It started way back with the Pilgrims and the early settlers. They had a very strong belief, faith. They were coming for the freedom of religion to follow the Bible. And that has influenced our laws and our principles of our land. In the past, a person's word was his bond, and many agreements were sealed with a handshake. Your word was your bond. The handshake sealed the deal, and you did all you could to fulfill your promise. With the erosion of the Christian influence, contracts have come into being. And quite often, contracts have loopholes in them, allowing the person. So you have to be really careful about contracts that you sign. Because you think you have an agreement, but if you read the fine print, there are always exceptions to the rule. So that is very frustrating. Whereas in the past, if you said you were going to do something, you did it, no matter what the price. People in nations without biblical ties use totally different standards than what we have, than what we interact with. Peaceful relations with the nation of Iran fell apart, what they're telling us, 47 years ago, when Muslims who were actually being focused on their scriptures, they were actually obeying Muhammad's teachings in attacking foreigners. If you remember, those of you who remember the scene back there 47 years ago, the Muslim extremists, we call them extremists, but they're actually very devout, following the Muslim religion. They overran the United States Embassy and took 66 hostages that first incident. It was finally resolved after 444 days, where we got the last of the hostages back. Then here just 3 years ago, October 7th, 2023, Hamas branch of the Muslim belief invaded Israel, killing about 1,200 people, taking 240 hostages. And we praise God that that has been resolved. However, if you are very alert and astute, you know that we are still in a battle. There's still a war going on because the people of the Muslim faith have a totally different perspective on humanity than what we have based on the scriptural teachings of God. Our principles are different. Our foundation is different. And that's why we're having this struggle. And we need to pray for our leaders that they will be wise in addressing the issue. The Bible identifies the temporary rulers of this world as Satan, and he has control of the majority of people. The only other option is serving Jesus Christ. So the question, are we going to serve Jesus or are we going to serve Satan? And Satan takes on the form of several different religions, several different masks, several different beliefs. But if they're outside of what Jesus taught, outside of what the Bible teaches, they are of Satan. People controlled by Satan basically don't care about the effect of anything on anyone but themselves. And in fact, some religions even carry a death wish. And that is the situation with the Muslim religion. They believe that if they die in the process of hurting you, they automatically go to their paradise. Our world is sometimes described as a dog-eat-dog world. The motto of many is survival of the fittest. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do all I can, even if it hurts you. They don't care. And that's because they're not led by God's Spirit. They're not focused on doing the will of God. God's path of life requires us to learn to love God and to love the people around us. Jesus Christ enables all who obey Him to become a changed person. We become changed from the heart out to become children of God, living righteously, which includes our being true to our word. This is just one of the many aspects of being a Christian. We need to be a people who keep our word. We need to speak truth all the time. The Apostle Paul touches on this principle in our text. He is dealing with a situation where he wants to develop the Christians in the region of Corinth, in the city of Corinth, in the surrounding area, making them the best children of God he can possibly make them. But part of that involves making statements that are truthful. And his commitment to them needs to be a truthful commitment. So let's read our passage in 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 15 through 22. The Apostle Paul is confiding with the believers at Corinth. In this confidence, I intended to first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing. That is, to pass your way into Macedonia and again from Macedonia to come to you and by you to be helped on my journey to Judea. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, so that with me there will be yes, yes and no, no at the same time? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in Him. For as many as are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore, also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now, He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Now, there are several things that we could focus on there, but I'm trying to just focus on being true to our word. The Apostle Paul he's trying to keep relations with the church at Corinth so he can help them. And he's told them, I intend to come, and intended actually to come on two separate occasions. But it hinges on if God wants this to happen. And so I'm not telling you yes that I'm coming and then no I'm not coming for you to be in confusion. I'm just telling you that I want to come, but it hinges on whether or not God wants it to happen as well. So he's trying to explain to them his frustration. He wants to be there with them. He wants to see them grow in Christ. But he can't guarantee that he will be the one who does that. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for the opportunity to study and analyze your scriptures and the situations that people run into. Father, so many times we have things that we want to do, but Father, help us to learn to first seek your will and allow you to lead us and guide us in the things that we should be committing to in the right time, in the right way, in the right amount of time. Father, help us to be a people of truth in a world that is full of lies and deception. Father, help us to represent you honorably. Guide us and direct us now, and help us to get our minds on your word, your truth, your life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first point I want to deal with is that the Christians of Corinth struggled with a great deal of spiritual immaturity. They had come from all types of beliefs and backgrounds, and especially how they interacted with those around them. Their sinful lifestyles needed this radical transformation that only Jesus Christ can provide through the help of His Holy Spirit, who comes and dwells in each of us. So Paul's letter continues guiding these growing believers, which includes this process of what they're going to do with their planning events and their promises. And so we're going to focus on the issue of promises. What do we do with promises? Are we to make promises or not? First point is, don't make promises that you cannot keep. Don't make promises that you cannot keep. And verse 20 kind of deals with this issue. God is full of promises, but the Apostle Paul is telling the church there, I want to come, but I cannot promise that I will be there. It hinges on what is God's plan. Only God can make and keep promises, and we are to submit to His plan in His way. Now, the Apostle Paul had a team, and that team had learned to follow God's lead, His way, and in His time. It was a process that took time. You know, learning a new way of thinking doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, sometimes a lot of failures. Paul had tried to do things his own way. He thought he was serving God by destroying the church, by destroying Christians. He was following all the instructions that his leaders had given him. And yet, in reality, what was he actually doing? He was fighting against God when he thought he was actually doing it right. So Paul had to learn the hard way of taking time to listen and pray for God's direction and God's leading so that he would not be found opposing God or his Savior, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, the Apostle Paul was inspired to give us a caution that we need to carefully learn and do God's will. Carefully. Don't get our own opinions mixed up in the mess. We need to apply God's truth in all aspects. We are to find joy by doing God's will instead of our own. This comes from Psalms. Many other passages talk about the joy of the Lord, rejoicing all the time. If we are motivated by hatred and evil, is that joy? No, it's not. God's work will produce God's joy. Our daily walk is to be by faith in Jesus Christ, allowing Him to lead us in the opportunities that serve His purpose in His time, using us. We don't decide when we're going to go. We might propose to the Lord, I think I need to go visit this, but Lord, lead me, guide me. We are to ask God's blessing. You know, in the book of Acts, during the missionary journeys, it's recorded, Luke recorded, that the missionary team of Paul wanted to go through certain areas, but the Spirit of God hindered him and moved him a different direction. This is during the second missionary journey, and led him and guided him where they eventually ended up at Philippi. And it's a wonderful story. If you're not familiar, read your book of Acts. Okay? Sometimes the Spirit of God says, no, don't go there. Sometimes you may want to go visit somebody and you find out it's just not working out. There's a reason. God is using you for some other purpose. So look for God's purpose. Scripture warns us to be careful about what we say over and over again. Trying to fulfill a bad promise can ruin a person and the people that we're influencing. Have you ever heard this little statement? I'm going to do this even if it kills me. Have you ever heard that? Somebody say that? And maybe you're guilty of saying that yourself. Well, maybe God doesn't want it done. Is that really what you want to die for? Something that is opposed to God's will? So be careful about these things. We are not to make promises when God is not leading us. Our second point is that God expects us to keep our promises. There are some sad stories in the Old Testament. People making promises, making vows, making oaths, and they had to fulfill those oaths, and it cost the life of people around them. We serve the God of life, not death. So we need to be careful of the promises, and then we need to keep our promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 indicates Paul had experienced an unpleasant visit to the church at Corinth. And he did not want to have another bad visit, another bad experience. But he did want to go back and help them, return to support them, if the Lord would approve that trip. If the Lord would approve his desire. But Paul was leaving it in God's hands, if God willed it. Jesus warned against making oaths with our statements in Matthew chapter 5. Our responses are to be a simple yes or no, without the extra promises or the vows or the cursing and the swearing that so often we hear that are added to it. Just, are you going to do this? Yes or no? That's all we need to know. That's all God needs to hear. Jesus said the extra wording is evil. James chapter 5, verse 12 warns that the extra language will place us under God's judgment. Do we want to be under God's judgment? We need to keep our answers simple. Yes or no. Our words are to be controlled by God, to honor God, to elevate God and our Lord Jesus. Paul again touches on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, which is just a page away. So let me go ahead and read that. Paul continues touching on this. For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God, speaking the words that God would be pleased with. The Apostle Peter also identifies every Christian as God's mouthpiece, God's spokesman. We are God's ambassadors, representatives, and we are to speak truth that is pleasing to God. We are to reflect our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who always spoke God's word. How does the Gospel of John open up? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1 says, God said, let there be light. Who is doing that? The Word of God. Jesus. Colossians tells us Jesus is the Creator. The Word of God. That's amazing. The Son working perfectly with the Father and the Spirit in performing the will of God. And when Jesus walked this earth, He told the disciples and us that every word that he said was from the Godhead. It was the Word of God. And that's why we have it written down. It's the Word of God. It's what we are to learn, to practice, to exemplify in our own lives. All who are clothed in Jesus Christ and raised in the new life that he gives to us by faith will be led by who? We will be led by the Holy Spirit. And what words is the Holy Spirit going to give us? The Word of God. So we need to be a people speaking as if we are speaking God's words, because that's who we represent. We represent Jesus, the Word of God. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." That was Paul's instruction to Titus. Be sure to teach people around you the words that will promote righteousness. The third point I want to touch on is we must not violate God's will if promises are made. Don't violate God's will if you do make a promise. Jesus paid for our redemption with his bloody sacrifice. Christians have made Jesus the master of everything in their life, including our words. Think about the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' model prayer. Jesus' model prayer teaches us that God's will be done. Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray for God's will in everything, including how we speak. Everything is included. We don't know what they may have for us, but God already knows what lies before us. And we need to pray for his guidance in action, word, and deed. Jesus practiced submission to his Father in Gethsemane, even as he prayed for the possibility that if it be possible, there be some other way for this redemption of the people. But how did he finish that prayer? "Not my will, but thine be done." This is an amazing section of the scripture where Jesus was struggling with the desire to stay alive, to not endure pain. How many of you like pain? I don't like pain. I don't like it when I get a hangnail. I don't like it when I get a sliver. And what Jesus knew was coming was horrendous, terrible suffering. And he did it intentionally, giving himself to full abuse, persecution, beatings, whippings, spear in his side, nails in his hands and feet. He did all of it because he loved us, to pay for our sin. He knew what was coming. And he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." We don't know what God wants us to go through, but we need to develop that attitude to be fully submitted. Jesus practiced submission to his Father in Gethsemane. We need to learn it every single day. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 17 teaches us to not boast in our plans. To not boast in our plans. But we are to submit to God's will instead. Because who knows best? Father knows best. Oh, there used to be a TV program about that, didn't it? Way back yonder. No, there's a better Father than what the TV had to offer. Our Heavenly Father always knows best. So we need to ask God for his guidance constantly. Our high-tech advances and skills and abilities have deceived us into thinking we are in total control. But the fact is, we're in horrible condition. We're sinners that need God. We need Jesus. We need salvation. We need to submit to God, His will, His way. We all submit to God as either His redeemed children or as His defeated enemy. Which do we want to be? We want to be His children, or do we want to be humbled as His enemy? I choose children. I think you choose children. The last point, fourth point, every promise made by man is accountable to God. We will have to answer for everything that we have said. In Jesus, Christians are granted life. And then we are sent out to be the representatives of Jesus into this world to introduce the people around us to the Lord's grace, mercy, peace, and life. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we would answer for every word that we say. But by grace and mercy, Jesus has paid for our failures. How about the rest of the world? Do we want to see them pay for their sin while we go scot-free? Our love for them should be, I want you to be saved. And so we are sent out. We are commissioned to go share the gospel. Jesus makes every Christian a priest unto the Lord God. The Apostle Peter addresses this in 1 Peter chapter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. What has God done for you? He's given you life. He's given you hope. He's given you a new purpose. And He's given you a new tongue to speak the truth of God. We will be judged by our words, which reveal what our thoughts are. Jesus warned that we will either be condemned or justified by our words. Words are important. We need to be careful. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. That's a lie. Words are important. God will reveal every word that we say. Scripture says they're all written down in His book. Nothing is hidden from God's hearing as well as His sight. You can't trick God. We would do well to speak His words all the time. James chapter 1, verse 26 urges us to bridle our tongue, controlling it. Our tongue is like a wild ship without a rudder. Our tongue is like a wild horse that needs a bridle to guide it. Are we willing to allow God to bridle us, to direct our path in the sea of life? Which direction do we want to go? We want to go to heaven, or do we want to go to hell? God wants us to choose heaven. Jesus died so that we can choose heaven. Through His grace, through His mercy. We must be continually improving at being true to our word. As we grow closer to the word of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember the commitment of Jesus to you. And remember your commitment to Jesus. What have you done for Jesus? Have you died to yourself and been raised in Christ? Remember that commitment? Do you remember that time? If you haven't followed through on that, we need to get that done, brother, sister. You need to obey Jesus and then be used by Him, speaking His words in His time. You who have not surrendered your life to Jesus, Jesus is calling for you. And He's calling for the rest of us, hey, brother, sister, represent me. Be careful about what you say. Keep your words true. Be a people true to your word. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercies. We thank you for the help of your Spirit. We thank you for the instructions of your Scriptures and examples on how we should deal with life. The words that we say are important. And so, Father, let your Spirit motivate us, encourage us, give us the words that we need to say the right time, the right way. In Sunday school, we just finished a study about anger. So, Father, help us to learn how to control our anger, to do it your way. In all things, let us glorify you and honor you through Jesus, through his power, through his transformation, with the help of your Spirit who dwells within us. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for the privilege of sharing together. Father, help us to be alert to helping those who are struggling. Help us to be motivated, encouraged, emboldened to speak your truth at all times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.